welcome back to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. Raise your hand if you've ever needed a second chance. Well, if you're anything like me, then your hand should be up as high as it can go. Jonah definitely needed a second chance, and God gave it to him. Let's find out what Jonah did with his second chance as Pastor Andrew shares part 3 of our Jonah series.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. I will extend my happy Father's Day to all of the fathers here in the room or watching online. If my voice sounds a little tired or you notice me limping a little bit this morning, I've been in kind of major dad mode this last weekend. We had a birthday party for our little Judah and Emery yesterday. And maybe some of you dads can relate to this, that dad mode and husband mode, it's a very blurry line. Because getting ready for a birthday party, it sounds like, you know, setting up some tables and all those things. That's maybe the dad mode part, but the husband mode of that conversation is, let's clean out the entire backyard and all of the trees and limbs and all of that, and then 30 bags of mulch and all of the things. So my body is tired, but I'm ready to rock and roll this morning. So we are in part 3 of our series on Jonah. Pastor Nathan has kicked this series off with the first and second week for us. And as Pastor's been saying, I really suggest, if you have not done it yet, really read through this whole book of Jonah. It's only 4 chapters. It's really easy to do in one sitting. It's just a really just comprehensive look at the whole story of Jonah. So if you haven't done that yet to this point, do that this week. But remembering back to week 1, kind of the whole thing that kicked off this book of Jonah, God called out to Jonah, and in verse 3, it says, Jonah got up, and he went in the opposite direction away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord, sailing to Tarshish. So Pastor kind of walked us through that in the week 1 message, talking about how Jonah rejected God, rejected God's plan. And then last week, Jonah was in the belly of the fish. That was kind of where we were in the story last week with Pastor Nathan and his message, and talking about the reality of being in that situation and how that brought Jonah to this point of repentance and prayer, and how he really turned back to God and started to say, okay, I'm going to do this God's way. So week 1 was rejection, week 2 was reality, and today's message is all about rescue. And as I was thinking about this, looking into some more of the story of Jonah, I know one of the things that can kind of come up for people is, well, was he really inside the belly of a fish? Or as we learned it as kids, inside the belly of the whale. And I guess my response to that after reading some things and looking into this is, if you've been thinking about that, like maybe this is just an allegory or just a story, my response to that would be a question. And that question is, do you believe the words of Jesus? Because if you read in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke, Jesus specifically mentions Jonah and the belly of the fish. So for me, that's enough. If Jesus said it, then I'm willing to believe it, because I believe everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did. So that was just a little thought that I had coming into this week for the story of Jonah and the fish. So we are picking up right where Pastor left off last week, and Jonah is spit up, deposited onto land safely on dry ground, maybe had a little bit of motion sickness going on, if any of you deal with that. But it was just this vivid portrait of God's incredible grace that Jonah was, he had turned away from God, God got a hold of him, God caught up to him, and now he was back on dry land. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says this, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. And this is so huge. God's word came to Jonah again. He gave him a second chance. And it was totally undeserved. Jonah had done everything to go in the opposite direction of God. He had walked in disobedience. He turned his back on God, but God kept pursuing him. And so verse 1 of chapter 3 says, Jonah was given a second chance. That's basically what that says. Has anybody here ever been given a second chance by God? I know I've needed a second chance from God. I know I've needed a second chance in a lot of different ways in my life. One thing I thought about this week, some of you might remember, I've talked about it before, but kind of me and my wife Sam's engagement story. Basically, we were supposed to get engaged in a gazebo, and we ended up getting engaged in the parking lot of the Olive Garden. So that's a long story there. I'm not going to tell that whole part today. So I messed that up. I needed a second chance for that thing because I really heard about it all the time. Anytime we're with friends, let us tell you this story about how Andrew engaged to me. It's great. It's hilarious. Yay. So a couple years ago, for our 10-year anniversary, I was coming up with this master plan. I was like, I knew I had to get this right. This had to be something significant. And so I found this little town in Pennsylvania, and we parked up and had some lunch at this little burrito shop, and we were walking down through town, and I had pre-planned this, but Sam was very surprised to see this perfect gazebo right in the downtown of this little village in Pennsylvania. It's fall, so the leaves are turning, they're falling, and there's nobody else around. It's like in the square of this town. I say there's nobody else around, but there was a lady walking her dog who was blessing every bush around the gazebo. So we had to wait for that. But then we go to the middle of the gazebo, I pull up my Spotify, we dance to our first song, and we have our 10-year anniversary moment. And so I got my second chance. And I think I did pretty good, yeah? She said, meh. Yeah, you can please clap for that. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah Martin, for starting that clap back there. I need that. But we need a second chance. Jonah needed a second chance. I know that God has given me a second chance before. Sometimes he has been pursuing me like Jonah, and I have been stiff-arming. I've been going the other way, and I've needed his stubborn love to push through, and I've needed his grace and that relentless love in my life. That is an unanswerable love. You can't push it away. You can't not receive God's love. I mean, we can push away, but when we receive it, it's unanswerable. There's no way that it can't get rid of anything that we have been holding to ourselves, anything that we've been keeping from God. When we allow him in, that unanswerable love just conquers all of the things that we've turned away from God. And so that brings me to my big idea for today, if you're taking notes, and it's this. It's that God's grace is available, but our obedience is essential. His grace is available, but our obedience is essential. His grace is enough to cover anything we've done in our past, anything we've been withholding from him, all of those things. But God doesn't want us to continue to keep on living that way over and over and over in that cycle. He doesn't want us to keep saying, okay, God, I need a second chance. I need a 15 chance. I need a 322nd chance. Because Jesus made such a better way for us. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, well then, should we just keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. When we get this second chance from God, it's not so that we can just go out next week and mess up again and come back and say, okay, God, I'm so sorry. He's saying, no, you can live in freedom. You can live in freedom. 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything as you do, just as God who chose you is holy. When we get this second chance from God, he's saying, you don't have to go back. Jonah, you don't have to go back to Tarshish. I can't even say that. Tarshish. It's a lot of SH sound in there. You don't have to go back. You don't have to go back to that sin. You don't have to go back to that way of living. You don't have to go back to that way of talking to your friends. You don't have to go back to looking at those things, whatever that is for you. You don't have to go back because you know so much better now. You know so much better now. So Jonah was given this second chance from God. And he, again, still had a choice to make. God spoke to him again in verse 1, and then in verse 2, This is God's command, which might sound familiar from chapter 1. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message that I have given you. It was the same command a second time. And it wasn't a wait 5 minutes, wait another month, wait, just spend some time. Now that you're out of the fish, you're on the land, just sit around and recover. No, it was a go now. It was a go now command. Had nothing to do with Jonah's feelings. It had everything to do with God's command. And that is something that I have seen so many times in my life where I have needed to just say yes to whatever God was asking me to do right in that moment, because there are times when I haven't done that, and then I've seen, man, I missed an opportunity to pray for somebody. I missed an opportunity to love on somebody, whatever that is. When we don't obey, when we don't immediately obey, this is something that my mother drilled into me from a very young age. If you do not immediately obey, there are consequences with Deb, but also there's maybe even still now at almost 35, there's consequences there. But it's like that with the Lord. When we stiff arm, there's consequences. There's things that happen. And so God's command to Jonah was a now command. It wasn't wait till later. It was go now to the city of Nineveh and deliver the message that I have given you. Which, if you remember, that was not a happy-go-lucky message that God had given him. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a little bit. But I imagine that if we today really tune in and listen to the Lord, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, maybe there's been something, even just this morning already, or this last week, this last month, that God has been calling you to go and do, and maybe you haven't done that yet. You haven't immediately obeyed. And I believe this morning that if you listen, there is something that God wants you to do today. Maybe it's reaching out and connecting with that person you've been thinking about calling. Maybe it's initiating that apology that you really do not want to have to initiate. Sometimes those things are really difficult. Maybe God has been calling you to give something away. You've been putting it off. Maybe you need to repent of some sin this morning, or maybe you just need to make a situation right. Something didn't go right in a family conversation or a relationship with a friend or something at work. God's command is do it now. Don't wait. Just like we talk about pray now around here, pray now. God is a now God. He wants us to be obedient now. So that's what he was saying to Jonah. Do it now. Do it immediately. And that, for Jonah, meant that he had to go to this huge city of Nineveh, this great city with these horrible people that Pastor's been telling us about the last few weeks. They just did detestable things before God. Jonah really hated the people there because of the cultural things and all of that. The city was huge, too. It says in the Bible, it took 3 days to see the whole city. There's like 120,000 people in this fortress of a city, and there was a 7.5-mile-long wall surrounding the city of Nineveh. And so God's command is to still go to Nineveh and deliver this message that I have given you. He basically said, go now to the people that you despised, do what you don't want to do, proclaim the message I have given you. Has God ever asked you to do something you don't want to do? Can anybody relate to that? I have seen that so many times in my life, but when I've said yes, when I've been obedient, it's been incredible to see how God has still moved. And so verse 3 of chapter 3. This time, this is Jonah's redemption arc right here, verse 3. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command, and he went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. So this second time, this second chance that Jonah got, he said yes. He said, I'm going to go now, immediately. I'm not going to get on another ship and try and go on another crazy trip. I'm not going to keep doing it my way. I'm not going to just do things that feel good for me, but I'm going to surrender. And Jonah basically said, okay, Lord, you're telling me what to do. My answer is yes. And this is something that Pastor Nathan was talking about last week, and something we talk about in the basics classes, is that when we have said yes to Jesus first as our Savior, there's this other yes, this ultimate yes of saying, okay, you're not just my Savior, but you're my Lord. And whatever you're asking me to do, I am fully and 100% surrendered to you. So my answer is yes today, it's yes tomorrow, it's yes next year. Whatever, God, you're calling me to do, it's this ultimate yes. And my bend is now towards God instead of away from God. If you haven't taken the basics classes and talked through some more of those things with us, I really encourage you to look at the August dates that we have for those. It's such a good conversation to have together. That's just my little shameless plug for basics classes. But that was Jonah. He said, okay, I'm ready to go palms up for the Lord. I'm ready to say yes, and I'm gonna do it immediately. Chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. On the first day, this is when he's just getting to Nineveh, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. What a happy message. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on a sackcloth. Basically, the sackcloth was a sign of mourning or sadness or repentance. And so Jonah shows up. And just him going to the city was such a huge step for him, because it was the beginning of his walk of obedience. Sometimes we just need to take that first little step. Maybe it's a baby step for us. Going into this massive city was a really big step for Jonah. But he had to let go of his selfishness, of his fear, of his hatred, of all of those things that were holding him back, so that he could take that first step and say, okay, I am really going to walk this out in obedience to the Lord. And him letting go of those things was really the only way that he could do what God had asked him to do. It was the only way that he could move forward. And I'm thinking about my life, and maybe for you this morning, that same type of thing might be true for you today, that there's some things that you have been allowing to hold you back, that you haven't yet been able to take that first step of obedience because some baggage, some hurt, some pain, some things that you've said or done, whatever that is. And maybe today when we pray in a little bit, that you'll have an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, I need to let go. Like Jonah let go of those things so that he could move forward. I need to let go. I need to surrender my self-will. I need to fully surrender myself so that I can start on this journey of obedience. As Pastor would say, do the Jonah. He says that for a lot of different Bible stories that we talk about. But do the Jonah. Get started today. Put the past behind you and move forward. We have the opportunity to do that. So this stepping into Nineveh, this actually being obedient, was a big thing for Jonah. It was a huge step of obedience. Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. This is out of the New Living Translation this time. It says, on the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And the message was short, it was direct, and it was totally offensive. I can see why Jonah was so afraid to deliver this. These terrible people, and he's basically telling them that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days. But the message was so short and so direct and so powerful because of that, that it's making me think that maybe there should be some more pastors preaching in that way, even today in our culture and the world that we're living in, kind of having that short, direct, and offensive, maybe offensive not to pull people down, but in the way of shaking people out of complacency or whatever that is, getting people's attention. Because Jonah's message basically translated to something like this: in 40 days, your city is going to be overturned, destroyed, but it's your choice. God's time of mercy and his grace is winding down, and you have a choice to make. And it would seem to be a limited time offer, this 40-day window. But Jonah still declared that message with boldness, with directness. He did not water it down. Even though he might have, on his way into the city, he might have been thinking, well, maybe I could say it this way. Maybe I could just water it down a little bit and tell them, like, hey, God might be coming in 40 days, and it might be bad for you guys. I know I've done that in the past because I really don't like confrontation, and when I really need to tell somebody something direct, I can get that in my mind, like, well, maybe I can just say it this way and it won't be as bad. And the Lord's like, no, you need to say it this way. I'm like, but Lord, what if I said it this way? So maybe Jonah did some of that conversation on the way to the city, but when he got there, he was bold, he was direct, and he declared this message. And the New Living Translation of verse 5 says, the people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. This is so important because Jonah's little step of obedience, really a big step of obedience, his first step of obedience, opened the door for these horrible people to basically say yes to God's plan, to turn from their past, to turn from their sin, to turn away from all of these things. But it's so key here that the verse doesn't say that they believed Jonah or they believed in Jonah. It specifically says that they believed God. And I see that in my own life, and it's something I want to continually remember, that when God says something, he does it. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God. So when God says it, we can believe it, we can bank on it, and the Ninevites receive that message, that dark message, that direct message, that kind of scary message, and they said, okay, we believe God. We believe that this is true, and we want to turn to him. We want to turn away from our evil ways. We want to turn away from our perverse ways, all of that. And just thinking about this culturally to kind of tell you how radical of a transformation this really was for the people of Nineveh to do this. This would be like somebody like Howard Stern. If he was like the Ninevites, he would now be leading a Christian radio show doing Christian counseling. Like, that would be pretty radical, right? That's the type of radical transformation we're talking about. All of the clubs in Las Vegas are now churches, houses of worship, people loving Jesus. Like, that type of radical transformation is what was happening in the city of Nineveh because they saw that God was real and that this message that Jonah was so faithful to deliver was directed right to them. And they were willing to say, okay, we need to turn to God. We need to turn to God. It continues. This is still in the New Living Translation. Jonah chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and he took off his royal robes, which was not just something that a king would do. Like, this was a big deal that this was happening. He dressed himself in burlap and he sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet, God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. Wow. That is, for a king in that culture, in that time, to just, first of all, be in a burlap sack, show that sign of mourning and repentance, that was a huge thing. But then he goes on to say, everyone needs to fast. Everyone needs to have this time of turning to God. And he still was saying that from this place of humility and humbleness, of saying, who can tell? Maybe if we do this, God will redeem us. God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger. This, the Old Testament symbol of fasting, that the whole fasting idea, it was all about humility and repentance. So when they were fasting and they were praying and repenting with that, the burlap sack on, all those things, it was really coming from this place, this deep desire to see and to hear from God. And so these people, these these people that had done all these horrible things, that there was just, everybody knew how bad the Ninevites were. They were willing to say that we repent. We humble ourselves so much to the point of we're not even going to wear our normal clothes. We're going to fast. We're going to be in these sackcloth, and we're going to just be in front of the Lord and say, okay, maybe God will forgive us. Everyone and everything in the city was fasting. They were praying earnestly to God, crying out with sincere hearts, and God heard their cries. It brings me back to thinking about that big idea that I gave you, is that God's grace is available, but our obedience is essential. Looking throughout this chapter 3 of Jonah, seeing how Jonah went through, in the first two chapters, the crazy going away from God, then being in the belly of the fish all throughout chapter 2, and then picking up the story here where he's out of the belly of the fish. Jonah faced that very situation of, okay, I have a choice to make. God has given me the same command again. He's saying, go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. Be obedient. Do what I've called you to do. Be who I've created you to be. And Jonah had a choice to make. God's grace was so prevalent for Jonah. And something I was thinking about this week too is that when we think about the grace that was available to Jonah, that was coming directly from the Lord. But I think from God in heaven, but I think for us today, we have the entire New Testament. We have the blood of Jesus that's been poured out for us that is such a greater measure of grace than Jonah might have even been able to experience in this Old Testament story, because Jesus and his blood being poured out for us makes such a difference. And this grace that is available to us today, this the God of the second chance, he is so real and available for us today in 2022, in the middle of whatever we're going through, whatever is happening in our lives, God is real and his grace is available. And that's something that I am so thankful for in my life. In so many different ways, when I think back to some of my experiences with this specifically, God's grace is available. I spent, right after Sam and I got married in 2010, I spent about 3 years working in a metal fab shop. And during that season of my life, I was upset with God. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before, but I had been in college, I changed my major to ministry, and that whole summer before we got married, I tried to get a job in ministry, and it just wasn't happening. And I walked through this season of just feeling like, okay, God, I did what you told me to do, and now you're not holding up your end of the deal. Maybe you felt that way before, maybe it's just me. But I just walked through this season of not fully turning my back on God or walking away from my faith, but just through this struggle. And I can look back now and see how God's grace was so available to me in so many different ways during that season when I was struggling. But I was forgetting the second part in those 3 years where I was just struggling and going through all these things, is that I still needed to be obedient. Sometimes when I would walk into the shop in the mornings, I would just have this horrible mindset. I would just be just so upset that I had to go grind metal, and knowing that later I'd have to pull it out of my finger and toes. It was awful. If any of you have ever been a laborer at a metal shop, you know what I'm talking about. But I would just have this horrible mindset of, man, it's the Eeyore syndrome that Pastor talks about all the time. Oh, God made me work at a metal shop, so now I'm miserable. Like I didn't see the people. I didn't see the people that God had placed me in front of to share his love, to share his grace with. I didn't see that on so many days. And I let part of that season be stolen away from me as an opportunity to be a light, because I just kind of fell in line. His grace was available. He was calling me to that place to be a light. And he wanted me to share that grace with other people, but I just wasn't being obedient to his call during that season. Jonah got it right. This second chance that he got it right. He said, okay, Lord, I know your grace is available, and I'm willing to be obedient to what you're calling me to do right now, immediately. He went to the city, and we see this big idea come up again with the people of Nineveh. Jonah declares this message, you're going to be destroyed. And they maybe could have just thrown him out of the city or killed him or whatever Jonah was afraid they were going to do anyways. But they realized God's grace was available, and all they could do was be obedient to say, okay, we are going to repent. We're going to turn away from our wicked ways. We're going to go in a new direction, because they wanted to receive God's grace. And so maybe some of you today are going to let God catch up to you. Maybe you've been on that trip to Tarshish and you've had your 3 days in the belly of the fish, and you know that God has been calling you to obedience. He's been calling you forward, and you've just been stiff-arming. You've still been doing it your way. You've still been going the opposite direction. Maybe God has given you that second chance, and you've walked with him for a couple weeks, and then you just go back to the way that you've been living. But I'm telling you today, this morning, that he loves you. No matter what has happened yesterday, this morning, this last year, he loves you right where you are, and he just wants to be in relationship with you. He just wants you to say yes. He just wants you to say that ultimate yes of surrender to him. I invite you to stand as we wrap up here in just a minute or two, and we'll pray. But as I've been speaking this morning, some of you maybe have never come to the cross yet. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus in the first place. You've not given him your sin. You've not given him yourself. You've not even said, okay, I want you to be my Savior. Romans 3:22-25 says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes. No matter who we are, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. We are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life by shedding his blood. We just have to believe. If you've not said yes to Jesus, that just means saying, okay, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I turn from my sin. I turn from my past. I want to live for you today. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Jesus made that possible for you today. Maybe some of you, like I was saying just a little bit ago, you've said yes to Jesus, but you're maybe on chance number 324. Maybe you've just been going through this cycle of sin and shame and guilt and repentance, and you're just keeping on going through that cycle. There's a different way. God has a different way for you today. Just be obedient. His grace is available, but we need to walk this out in obedience and truly go in the opposite direction. Lay that sin down in front of him today. Maybe lay whatever that is, just lay it down to the Lord this morning. And one more thing that maybe you're like, well, I don't fall into any of that. I think one thing, I prayed about this a little bit last week when I was sharing during prayer time. But I want to challenge us this morning to not just be Christians, just people that are saying we're living for Jesus, just coming to church or watching online and going through the motions. I think that we can fall into that cycle and we can just go to church casually. It's just something that we do. And maybe we need to do some repentance if that's kind of, maybe that we've just lulled ourselves into that over this last year or 2 years or whatever that's been for you. Maybe we need to repent for living self-centered and materialistic lives. Maybe like the people of Nineveh were really like, that's probably one of their evil ways. Or maybe repenting for attitudes towards people that are just hurting and broken, but we have a terrible attitude. Maybe we need to repent for being generous just so that we feel better about ourselves. Maybe we need to repent for just having a carelessness about the things of God, just a flippant attitude towards any of the things about God. Or maybe we just need to repent for our lack of godliness. Whatever that is, just like that verse in 1 Peter said, we have the opportunity to walk out of here to, as you're watching online, to be fully transformed this morning, to say, okay, God, you are the God of the second chance. I receive your grace. I'm going to be obedient today, and I'm going to walk differently. I'm going to live differently because I know so much better now. So as I pray, some of you might want to come to the altar. Some of you might want to bring a spouse or a friend if you want to pray, or pray where you are. But however the Lord is speaking to you this morning, whatever that is, I encourage you to lay it down. Lay it down at his feet today. Do the Jonah. Be obedient immediately, right now. Say yes to Jesus and turn towards God. And I promise you, he has incredible blessing and favor and plans for your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the truth of your word. I thank you for this story of Jonah that shows us such a vivid example of your grace for our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you don't want us just to be complacent. You don't want us just to get stuck where we are. You don't want us just to live in our filth. You want us to live in your freedom. And so I pray this morning that we would experience your freedom, God, that we would receive your grace with open hands and with palms up and say, okay, I'm going to be obedient today. I'm going to call that person. I'm going to apologize in that situation. I'm going to say yes to Jesus for the first time today. I pray whatever that is, Lord, that you would be transforming, that you would be changing our lives, that you would be moving us in your direction, and that we would be looking more and more like you every day. So I thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.